Who's in my Sunday school class that can say what they learned today and why that song, that special music song today, tied in with it? Anybody? 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 Everybody's like this. Nobody? You're thinking? You're thinking. The wheels are turning. I'll stall. How about that? I am not a baker by trade nor skill. My wife is a phenomenal baker to the degree that I'm pretty sure the only reason I kept my job as long as I did was her Christmas cookies, because my boss really liked those Christmas cookies. And he was quite upset to hear that he's not going to get those anymore. I might figure out a way to mail him some just to keep him happy, you know. But I am not a baker. And I say that to say, Pastor offered me the opportunity to share my heart with the church tonight. And God laid something on my heart this afternoon. And I didn't know I was going to be standing up here tonight. And it happened to fit so perfect. But if you are a baker, if you've ever baked a cake, and you open up the oven door, and you slide the rack out, and you got the cake there, and what do? You take that toothpick, and you go, and you want to see if there's anything on that cake or anything on that toothpick when you pull it back out. I'm saying, there, when you pull the toothpick out, there might be a little bit of batter still on the toothpick. This isn't fully baked, but I think it's fleshed out enough. Do you remember now what we talked about in Sunday school, Adelaide? Big girl voice, what do you got? So they can hear you in the back. What did we learn in Sunday school this morning? We can trust Jesus in times of trouble, right? And then that song fits right in with that. Isn't it wonderful when the Holy Spirit ties stuff together like that? You hear something in Sunday school, and then you come in, you sit in service, and pastor preaches a thing, not knowing what your Sunday school teacher taught. And you go, oh, that's right down the same lane. It's wonderful when the Holy Spirit does stuff like that. James chapter 2. So, pastor, we believe in soul. He's all the way out there. We believe in soul and individual liberty. And I appreciate pastor giving me the liberty to speak tonight and to preach. But we also believe in submitting to the authority of our pastor. So it's in the vein, even if it's not the same passage. And he pulled up Acts chapter 20. I'm not going to pull it up. I'll just give you the basic rundown. It's Paul, and he's talking to a church, and he's basically saying, I might not see you again. This is what I want you to know. And I have confidence that if the worst happens, the worst, I'll see you all again. But when you leave a job and you don't get to work with those guys anymore, it hurts. Because you like working with those guys. I like working with you guys. Many of you are some of my favorite people. Most of you. Ryan. You're one of my favorite people, Ryan. Anyway. But God laid this on my heart this afternoon. I didn't get a nap, and I was writing this instead. And pastor said, want to give me an opportunity to do this? I just held up my phone. I said, sir, you wouldn't believe what God put on my heart this afternoon. I didn't have time to write a title. By the way, can I testify for a minute? I want to testify. I want to do a testimony. Praise God for the soundboard crew. They don't get enough praise. It's a hard job back there. I've stood back there and watched them push buttons. It's not easy. They don't like it when I push the buttons, though. Probably because I don't know what I'm doing. But anyways, soundboard. I didn't get time to write a title for this. So if we got to have a title, let's go with what I want my church to know. James chapter 2. Y'all are going to soundboard. I praise God for you because you know when to hit the mute button. And it's going to be every time I face that way. You ready? Okay, good job, soundboard. You passed the test. James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. Before we read, what do we do, Sunday school class? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. Thank you for a place that we can come to. We can find fellow believers, fellow laborers. We can come to a safe place and worship you, not have to look over our shoulder. Lord, I thank you for a place that points people to you. Lord, that helps to draw people closer to you. Lord, that they do that not through feelings, but through your word. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity I have tonight to open your word up and share what you've put on my heart. Lord, I pray that it would be as encouraging and edifying to these folks as it was to me. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to do a work tonight. Lord, I thank you for the visitors we had this morning. I thank you for the visitor we have tonight, Lord. I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they wouldn't leave without knowing you. And Lord, I pray that we would take the opportunity to share you with them. The things that I ask in your Son's precious name. Amen. James chapter 2, picking up in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Oh, man. I often talk about John and about how I love the way he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. The poetry to that, the intimacy to that. I believe I'm the disciple who Jesus loved. I believe you're the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe each of us who are a disciple of Christ are the disciple whom Jesus loved. Man, do I want to be called the friend of God. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now I want to be clear. If today I stopped serving God, I'm still going to heaven. Because God's promises are always true. And God's word says, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I shall be saved. It doesn't say, and then I go feed the poor, and if I don't do that, I'm not saved. It doesn't say, and then gets baptized, and if I don't do that, I'm not saved. You are saved by faith. I feel like that's an important thing to mention every time we talk about this passage. Because there's people that will try to use this passage out of context, unrightly, which might not be a word. And they'll try to tell you that you have to have works to get to heaven. But we'll see in a moment, I'll cite scripture that will tell you, you can have all the works you want to. You ain't going to work your way into heaven. There is an idiom, which is a phrase that means something more than what it initially says on the surface. And that idiom is, I buy it. You might say of somebody who tells you a story, yeah, I buy that. I believe what they're saying. You might say of somebody who tells you a story, I don't buy it. I don't believe what he's saying. We are not in the business of selling Jesus. But people should believe us when we talk about Jesus. So when I say buy in this context, I don't mean like Joel Osteen, I'm selling God. Put that clip on the internet. I don't mean that. I mean, we're trying to get people to believe God. So there's a, I don't even know what profession the guy is anymore. He's not a motivational speaker. He's not a business expert, but he's used a lot by business experts and leadership experts and all that kind of stuff. A guy named Simon Sinek. I'm not going to stand here and tell you you should listen to every word out of the man's mouth. In fact, I'll tell you, he probably uses some profanity that you probably shouldn't listen to. But sometimes even a blind squirrel finds a nut. And he has this saying that I heard from him years ago. People don't buy what you do. They buy what you believe. And what you do simply serves as the proof of what you believe. People don't buy what you do, they buy what you believe. And what you do simply serves as the proof of what you believe. I'm a Christian. I don't darken the doorway of a church. Will going to church get you to heaven? No. But what you do serves as the proof of what you believe. And your neighbors, whom you tell you're a Christian, who see your car in the driveway every Sunday morning, I don't know if they're going to buy that you're watching church on YouTube. People don't buy what you do. They buy what you believe. And what you do simply serves as the proof of what you believe. What do you believe? Let's point at some scripture now. We see in verse 14 through 18 that the demonstration of your faith leads us to adoration. And by us, I mean the demonstration of my faith leads me to adoration. The demonstration of your faith, Miss Cynthia, leads you to adoration. But can I tell you, it also leads Jacob to adoration when you demonstrate your faith. You say, okay, what do you mean by that? Well, I already said, you can't work your way into heaven. We know that from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Perfectly clear. I can't work my way to heaven. It's not going to happen. Galatians 2 verses 20 and 21. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You want to work your way to heaven? You've made Christ's death useless. Think about that phrase, that statement a lot. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Whew. You cannot earn or pay back your salvation. You never will. Okay, Joe, connect the adoration thing. I got you. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Mike, I can't read that verse without thinking of that podcast I sent you. You know what I'm talking about? The school that took in the English as a second language students that were all refugees. And the man who cited that verse is not a believer. But man, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When you show other people Christ's love, you're showing Christ love. When I love Ryan, I also love Christ. That's what I mean when I say our faith leads us to adoration. Because when you show your love to people, sometimes it's really easy. It's very easy for me to show love to my wife. For one thing, she's very pretty. This is being recorded, right? Good. She can bake like you wouldn't believe, brother. These thumbprint cookies with jam, and then she does little experiments where she mixes pretzel and stuff in, and you get dichotomy of texture. Oh. It's easy for me to love my wife. It's hard for me to love the guy that I work with that actively makes it harder for me to do my job. But when I love him, then I understand Christ loving me. When I make it harder for him to do his job. Now, he's God. He can do anything he wants. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But how often are we working against God because of our sin, because of our pride, because of our spirit in a specific situation? Whatever it is, we're working against God, and yet he still loves us. And when you connect that, because you demonstrated your love to somebody else, and you go, oh, and I love God even more because he loved me when I was stupid. You know? Yeah. The demonstration of our faith leads us to adoration. Moving forward, the demonstration of your faith leads to emulation. Verses 19 through 24. Yeah, 14 to 18, I didn't read. Verses 19 through 24. Thou believest thou is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? That word perfect, by the way, means complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You say, okay, Joe, okay, connect that emulation thing. Emulation. In our Sunday school class, we teach Bible, we teach science, we teach English. We learn words, because Joe K has a big vocabulary because he read a lot when he was young, and he's not shy about using it. So we bring the kids up. We teach them the words, right? Emulation is a word that means to model something after, to emulate. Say, okay, Joe K, make that connection. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son? When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? I didn't get a chance to go back and pull the scripture for that. But I'll tell you that there's more than a dozen times in scripture, in the Old Testament and New Testament combined, where God is referred to as the God of Abraham and of, say it for the louder for the people in the back. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Who was Isaac to Abraham? Who was Jacob to Isaac? They all had the same God. Why do you think that is? I think it's because Jacob looked at Isaac and saw his God. Isaac looked at Abraham and saw his God. There's a song that I ripped off of Facebook that was a man singing in a church in North Carolina that we visited a few years ago. And I'm only now getting to the point where I can sing along with that song without crying. And it's about Abraham. I can't talk about it though. It's about Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain. That Abraham would understand what it meant for God to watch Christ walk up that hill. Call me speculative. I try not to do that too much. But I think you can read the Bible and you can come to reasonable conclusions. I think Isaac might have. Soundboard, you ready? For the soundboard. I think Isaac had heard Abraham talk about God a lot. I think Isaac even said, you know, maybe there's something to this God thing. Dad's pretty old. And then they went up a mountain. Isaac carried some wood. They got up there. And Isaac looked around and said, you know, Dad, thank you for noticing I didn't pick up a tissue before I turned around. You know, Dad, I think we might have forgotten something. And Abraham said, no, we didn't. And he puts Isaac on the altar. He raises his hand with a knife. And God stops him. I'll tell you what. In that moment, God was real for Isaac. And I don't want to speculate about when Isaac believed. But if he didn't believe before that, boy, he did right then. God became real, real fast for Isaac. Because he provided another sacrifice. So Isaac didn't have to die. And then you see Isaac following the same God as Abraham. Not only did Isaac follow the same God as Abraham, Jacob followed the same God as Isaac and Abraham. When we demonstrate our faith, it not only leads us to adoration, it leads to emulation. Lastly, in verses 25 and 26, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Boy, Abraham gets this big long thing and Rahab just gets this. But look, I want you to see something. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I don't like preaching sword drills. I'm going to read for you. You can turn there if you want to, because you should always verify what's being said from the pulpit. Just because I say it's from the Word of God doesn't mean it is. So I got no objection to you turning there, but I know I'm a guy who likes to take notes, and turning pages makes it hard for me to take notes. Joshua chapter 2 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.'" It sounds like somebody's testimony led somebody to understand better who God was. Sidebar, does your testimony help people better understand who God is? Ooh, I didn't even see that one earlier. Verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a token, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let down by, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless of whosoever shall be with thee in the house. His blood shall be on our hand, on our head, if any be upon him, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Soundboard's back. Now, if you flip forward to Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 22. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. Okay, connect this. I'm about to, I promise. Matthew chapter... Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. We heard about those guys today. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab. And Aminadab begat Nasan, and Nasan begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And on we go until you get to verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Folks, the demonstration of your faith leads us to adoration. The demonstration of your faith leads to emulation. But most importantly, the demonstration of your faith leads others to salvation. Rahab demonstrated her faith. In doing so, she gave those men instructions on how to be safe. They demonstrated their faith when they came back and plucked her out and kept her safe. And here she is in the line of Christ. Again, don't misunderstand me. God can do whatever he wants to do. He is the Almighty. He can do anything. But what happens if those guys don't demonstrate their faith? What happens if she doesn't demonstrate her faith? That scarlet rope is a picture of Christ's blood. If faith isn't demonstrated in Joshua, then where are we? The line of Christ ends there. And then I don't stand here and you don't sit there. All of this is for nothing. But Rahab demonstrated her faith. And in demonstrating her faith, she led others to salvation. The demonstration of Rahab's faith led to Mrs. Ernest showing me how to be saved in a room downstairs that is still used to teach children today. The demonstration of Rahab's faith led to the person who shared Christ with you, sharing Christ with you. Folks, the demonstration of our faith will not get us to heaven, but the demonstration of our faith sure might help somebody else. We can pray as much as we want to. Here's something I think, to Pastor's point. We pray for a thing, and we don't pray with expectation. We ask God for something, but then we don't prepare for Him to answer that prayer. We say, before service, in that prayer room, Lord, we hope you'll send visitors today. And then they come and we say, excuse me, you're in my seat. We pray in that room back there, Lord, we hope you'll save somebody today. But we don't demonstrate Christ's love, nor do we speak the words of the gospel that are so simple. Well, how's He going to answer that prayer? He probably wants to use you. But we get this notion that we're not the special ones. I call it a Moses complex. We get this idea that the prayer room is only for the Timothy guys and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers. It's only for the special people. Now, while it's true that my mommy says I'm special, beyond that, I am not special. You're not special. But you come to the prayer room. Thank you for that. I preached at Kenmore a few months ago about three ways to hold the rope. And one of the ways you can hold the rope for your missions partners, whose plaques adorn our walls, is to pray for them. Did my microphone die? No. Oh, you're holding up the rope. You're holding up the rope. Thank you, Brother Dan. I don't have my keys on me, so I can't show you what he's holding up, but he's holding up the rope. One of the ways we hold the rope is we pray for people. We pray for our missions partners. To Pastor's point, we don't pray for our missions partners enough. I said we. The guy who stands in front of you every Wednesday night and says, pray for your missions partners serving all over the world this week and every week. I just don't pray for them enough. I should, though, because if I want you to pray for me, I should be praying for you. We send our missions partners a prayer letter. We give them prayer requests. We do that expecting them to pray on our behalf. There's their prayer requests. Are we checking to see what their prayer requests are? Will you read my letter and see what my prayer requests are? I love you all, and I say this to you all in love. Chastising, we learned the word chastise today. Who from my Sunday school class remembers what chastise means? Okay, we need to take better notes in my Sunday school class. Chastises correction in love. Allow me, if you will, and it's you allowing me, because I have no right beyond that, to chastise you tonight. Not as your pastor, but as a man who expects you to pray for him. How can I believe you're going to pray for him if you can't even show up 20 minutes before your service to be in there and pray for the guys that are already up here. How can I possibly expect that? Do I write prayer letters in vain? Do I write them for churches, other churches to pray for me? We pray without expectation. So when we pray for God to send visitors and God to send people who are unsaved, by the way, sidebar, you know this place is for us, right? God designed the church for sinners, but it's us. God doesn't design the church for us to bring people to and say, look, that's God. God designed the church to prepare us to go out and say, look, that's God. Don't rely on bringing people to church to get them saved. But the demonstration of your faith at work, the demonstration of your faith at school, the demonstration of your faith in traffic, said the guy who doesn't road rage but is a little bit lead-footed. The demonstration of your faith in the grocery store, the demonstration of your faith at the restaurant when the server spills her Coke on you, can lead other people to salvation. The demonstration of your faith by putting a gospel tract on the gas pump can lead other people to salvation. The demonstration of your faith by putting a gospel tract on the table when you leave the restaurant can lead other people to salvation. The demonstration of your faith when you go to somebody who doesn't know God and you say, listen, man, we're all sinners. We can see that in the Bible. It's not my opinion, man. Here's my Sunday school class. Just your opinion, man, right? Unless you can show them from the Bible. So when you go to somebody and you demonstrate your faith by saying, look, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says that the wages of our sin, what we deserve for our sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we demonstrate our faith by explaining to somebody what it means when God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when your faith is demonstrated, and when you say, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, not saying, while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. When we demonstrate our faith by explaining how simple the gospel is, if you confess with your heart, your mouth, and believe with your heart, thou shalt be saved. When we demonstrate our faith by explaining what whosoever means, that it's not just special people, that it's not just people, a list of names that God picked out at random or otherwise, but whosoever, whosoever, Hitler? He had the option. When we demonstrate our faith by sharing the gospel with people, they can be led to salvation. Church, I love you. You are some of my favorite people. Not that any of you are excluded from that, but there's more people outside the church that I also quite favor. Most, if not all, are also God's people. What do I want you to know tonight? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We have a ministry called Hannah's Hope. And of all the churches I've worked with, I have never seen the number of volunteers for one ministry show up. And I don't mean warm bodies. I mean they show up. When I look at the photo from VBS, and I see the percentage of this church that showed up. I don't mean warm bodies. I mean y'all showed up. You ministered to kids. You demonstrated your faith. People got saved. They sat on a pew this morning because you demonstrated your faith to disciple them. Praise God. Church, continue to demonstrate your faith. Not only in these walls, but outside these walls. Continue to demonstrate your faith. Show us your faith by your works. Continue to do that. As somebody's coming to the piano tonight, and they begin to play softly, you might say to yourself, it's okay, I do quite a lot of things. If you're able to stand with me, please. It's okay, I do quite a lot of things. Cool. Praise God, keep doing them. But you might be saying to yourself, you know, there's that thing that I really feel like God's been talking to me about doing. And I've been kind of resisting that notion. Because I don't think I'm that guy. Can I tell you, Moses didn't think he was that guy? He didn't think he was the guy to lead the Israelites. Gideon didn't think he was that guy that could lead an army. Do you know you don't need to be that guy when you have that God? Maybe you might want to come to the altar tonight and talk to God about that. Maybe you might be here tonight and you don't know if you're going to heaven. Listen, we're going to leave, the plan is to leave Thursday morning. We're going to leave Thursday morning. Lord willing, this is our home base. This is where we're going to come back. But like I said, we roll the truck on the way there. You'll see me again in heaven. If you don't know that you'll be there when I get there, or that I'll get there first, whichever way, the order doesn't matter to me. If you don't know that you'll be in heaven, would you come up here and talk to somebody? We'll open a Bible. We'll show you it's not our opinion. It's God's word, and God's promises are always true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church. Lord, I thank you for a mother who never stopped praying. Thank you for a pastor who was sensitive enough to you to recognize that even though it was hard, he should stay. I thank you for a pastor that pours into the people of this church for no other reason than to see you glorified. And I thank you for all you do for us tonight. Lord, I pray that we would do for you, not out of obligation, not out of a desire to try and pay you back, but just to show you our adoration, or to see someone emulate, or most of all, to see someone come to you and receive your salvation. Lord, help us to demonstrate our faith not only while we're here in this church, but also every day while we're out in the world, so that we can point people to you. Lord, I praise you for all you are. I thank you for the opportunity you gave me tonight to talk to my church. I love these people, Lord. Thank you for letting me share your word with them. Lord, give us safety till the next time we come back for service. Lord, thank you for all you do. We praise you for all you are. And the things we ask in your Son's name, for your honor and glory. Amen.